Hello and welcome to your podcast. And I'd like to welcome my guest co-host, Sean Thorpe. Welcome to your podcast.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Very good. And, Todd and I always try to beat that joke like a dead horse there, about your podcast.
Yeah, but
yeah. Anyway, Todd's on a top secret assignment at a undisclosed location in the lower 48, so he's not able to record today, so I dragged Sean kicking and screaming into the studio to record with me.
Yeah, it was a really tough sell, Mike. You asked me if I wanted to be on, and I said sure.
Yeah. Sean's really hard to get along with here, if you guys didn't know that. Anyway, Sean is one of the support team here at Blueberry. And it's great to have you on. So let's get into the news. The first item I have on the list here is the FCC has a new podcast.
And yeah, I had no idea about this. It looks like they just released their first episode a few days ago.
Yep, they sure did. And I love the title of it. It's called More Than Seven Dirty Words.
Yeah.
Which is great. That refers to George Carlin's, not his bit, but he actually was involved in a Supreme Court case back in the 70s.
Right.
And that's where they came up with that list of the seven deadly words you can't say on television. We could say it on a podcast, but we're not going to because I don't want to put the explicit tag on here. But
not on this one. I'm sure if anybody wants to find a podcast that's willing to use all those words, there's plenty of them out there, but not on this one today.
Yep, exactly. So anyway, it looks pretty interesting. They had an intro episode a few days ago, and then that same day they had their first real episode, and that they talk about their response to the hurricanes down in Puerto Rico, which I didn't realize the FCC would respond like that, but I'm kind of interested in that. I'm a ham radio operator. Also do some work on regular broadcast radio, so me and the FCC know each other a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking over this, and I haven't listened to an episode yet, though I'm intrigued to see exactly what they're doing. But one thing that I thought was interesting is just looking at their website, and my assumption is that this will change over time, but they only have badges for Google Podcasts, and hey, they're a direct link to their RSS feed. How about that?
Yeah, well, I was just going to mention, as Todd and I talked about in the last episode, the power of RSS. Well, guess what? They're not in Apple Podcasts yet. They're not in Stitcher. They're not on Spotify. They're not on any of those things, but they are podcasting, and you can listen to it. So.
And interestingly, they are using a self-hosted feed. I haven't dug into it any deeper than that, but I'm now I'm just waiting for the day when, if they decide to syndicate the show far and wide, that the FCC podcast gets delisted for breaking somebody's rules, because we think about, the FCC that, well, obviously they regulate, a lot of broadcast media here in the U.S., along with other things, including, in some cases, phone and internet. But I kind of had to laugh when I thought, oh, wow, hey, the FCC, is producing its own show, and if they choose to syndicate it, they could run afoul of somebody's rules, and they themselves could finally feel the,
feel the wrath
of what the rest of us try to have possibly had to deal with if we've ever been involved in some type of, broadcast medium or whatever.
Right. So, very cool. But anyway, it's so far the first episode was very informative. The audio quality was good. And I assume the .gov website that they're serving their media from is optimized for that. So, should be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, looks like your wife was writing over at Podcaster News, Jen yeah. Thorpe, ironically, right? Anyway, she wrote up a little thing about the Pod Connection conference in Atlanta coming up beginning of next month, or actually beginning of this month. I keep forgetting we're recording a little early. This goes out on Monday.
Yeah, well, it's slated to be held... looks like La Meridian Atlanta Perimeter, October 5 to 7.
Yep,
this year. So
yeah, it's a little little 3-day thing. And you know, it looks interesting. I think it's the first year of it. It's probably just a tad bigger than the average. What were those things that used to happen all the time? Podcamps.
Podcamps. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So it should be interesting. I don't know if Blueberry's going to have any presence there or not. Probably not any people, but we may have some other presence going on there. So,
yeah, it looks like they are seeking sponsorship. So,
oh yeah,
I don't know if they've who if anyone they've reached out to, but if nothing else, maybe Blueberry can get involved in that capacity.
Sure, sure. And like I said, yeah, I got that email. So anyway.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, what I like about these kind of things is it's just nice to see that there's always, and it seems like more and more these are happening, but I like to see these kind of smaller conventions. Obviously, we love the podcast movements, and the PodFests are growing in size as well, but it's nice to see these kind of smaller ones that are just getting started and where it looks like there's really going to be a focus on podcasting and, you know, these particular shows. There's going to be some different panels and, you know, I like to see this kind of thing because it does kind of feel like a throwback, as you mentioned, to, you know, the PodCamps of the early days of podcasting, where it's not necessarily a big industry conference per se.
No.
And, you know, while podcasting is definitely an industry now, for most people, it isn't necessarily that, you know, some people, they just want to produce shows or they want to meet podcasters that they listen to, or they just want to learn more. And I think these kind of events can really help to fill the gap for those kind of things.
Right, and there's been quite a few regional events, you know, coming up lately, you know, like PodFest down in Orlando every year, and LA Podcasters Meetup, and the one up in Seattle, and, you know, and then, of course, all the podcast. There's still a few PodCamps that are around. I think Nashville every year still exists, and I think Toronto, and, you know, so, you know, but this is just another small conference that's not associated with the PodCamps, and I think the ticket prices I saw was like $30 for the full VIP treatment. So you know, it's not super expensive. So if you're within striking distance, head over to Atlanta on the 5th through the 7th of October.
Yeah.
So hey, we got an interesting survey from Next Radio that came up in Pod News, and it's where I found it. And it says more than 2/3 of millennials and more than half of Generation X listens to podcast weekly or more often. So that's quite the jump over what we've been hearing from other surveys. So I don't know how the survey was skewed, but it was encouraging.
Yeah, any news we can get, or any information that, you know, confirms that more people are listening to podcasts is better for us all. I think that podcasting is probably never going to see the hockey stick growth moment that certain portions of the industry would like, but
oh yeah.
Anything we can see that, you know, proves that, hey, there's more people that are coming in on the listening side, because obviously there's always been plenty of new podcasters coming in. but anything we can use to kind of show, hey, there really are people that are consuming this and are listening to it, right. Then yeah, definitely positive.
Yeah, the thing I always find interesting is, you know, there's never been a lack of new content coming into the space, but, you know, are the listeners keeping up? I mean, you know, people only have 24 hours in a day, and they can't use all of those to listen to podcasts. So, you know, how many hours of podcasts are being produced versus how many hours that do the audience have to listen? So, yeah, I mean, at some point, there may be just oversaturated amount of content for the amount of audience.
Yeah, well, and I think in general, that's really true about everything. And it's probably at some level always been true about podcasting. You know, I think there might be people who have come into this in the last few years who thought that, oh, well, if you started podcasting, you know, before, like, I don't know, 2007, you know, you had an automatic ticket to success because there were so fewer podcasts then. And I can assure you, as someone who started it around that, in that time frame.
Well, you haven't heard my number one podcast, because I started it in 2005, called Mike Bell's World. Well, it's right there by Serial in the
90s. Oh yeah,
yeah. So no, the time isn't part of it. I mean, you know, you get a brand new podcast. You know, there's brand new podcasts that shoot right up the charts, independents or from public media or from wherever they come from. So, you know, the content's not the problem. It's finding the good content can be a problem, and you know, you be the judge of that. But no, it's just really good to see that especially the millennials, because, you know, they're the up and coming, right. And you know, it's great that they're. And then, you know, my generation, Gen X, you know, we're represented, so that's good. You're kind of in between, aren't you?
Actually, yes, I am. I'm in the weird zone where I'm not firmly exactly in either generation, and there are things that I relate to very closely to both. So it's kind of strange for me, but, you know, ever since podcasting really started, and really since I would say 2006 for sure, was when I really switched to the point where I listen, when it comes to audio, it's like very rare that I really listen to the radio. Pretty much if I'm listening to audio, it's podcasts. And occasionally, if I want to listen to music, I'll pull up a radio station stream or something. But for the most part, you know, terrestrial radio is not really in my life. I pretty much just listen to podcasts at this point.
Yeah, I listen to the radio when I'm on it. That's about it. You know how it is. All right. So, Sean, how did you get started in podcasting? We got to get to know you a little bit. So tell us a little bit about you, since we try to get other team members on these podcasts, either Mackenzie's or ours. So I don't think anybody on this show has been introduced to you.
Well, the highlights, I guess. In late 2004, I was part of a Yahoo group, if anybody remembers those. And it was actually a group of fans that were devoted to a radio show out of Chicago. I used to live in the Chicago area. And I was pretty active on there. And someone else who was, actually, his name was George Smith, and he was a pretty prolific podcaster for a couple of years there in the beginning. He had mentioned podcasting just offhand. It was related to another thread. And I started to look it up, and I was like, wow, you know, this looks cool. This is something I think I want to get into. And just due to things that were going on in my life, it took me a couple months. But in late January 2005, I published my first episode of a podcast, which is long gone now. But you know, I kind of stuck with it, and then I moved cross country, and just I kept doing it in one capacity or another, and always just kind of stayed around in the community wherever the, you know, podcasters were kind of congregating online. Speaking of Yahoo groups, there used to be a really active Yahoo group for podcasters, and then of course in, you know, 2006, 2007. the old Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle forums.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
Those were hotbeds of activity for podcasters. And you know, there were a few other forums online. And I mean, these were not like Facebook groups, you know, these were actual old school, you know, forums that you
not to mention the Blueberry forum.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, it's it's kind of interesting as a historical thing, because the Blueberry forum did start around the same time as those other forums, and still has kind of some of those old school podcast, you know, functions, in the sense that like there's an area on the Blueberry forum where you can promote a show, and you know, people can ask general questions. I mean, most of the posts we get through there are related to support issues for Blueberry Stuff and PowerPress, which is fine. But occasionally I do answer questions on there from someone who just goes, "Hey, I'm starting a new podcast. What kind of equipment should I buy?"
Right.
And that's really a throwback to what those old forums were like.
Yeah, nowadays it's all Facebook groups and that kind of thing. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the technology changed.
So, you know, I always just kind of stuck around the community and wherever the community was going. And, you know, as it started to migrate more to Facebook, every time I saw a podcasting group, I would just join in and, you know, I would contribute, just my knowledge and experience and try to help people where I could. And in 2009, I started doing some freelance work, audio editing, a little bit of consulting. And I still do that to an extent here and there. I never did the consulting part much. And the audio editing really has never been more than kind of a side hustle. But I still do those things to some extent. And in 2014, I started contributing to, we mentioned earlier, Podcaster News. I was one of the, I guess you could say, founding contributors to that website. And I don't contribute to it that much anymore. And then in 2015, I joined the support team here at Blueberry. And it, you know, started out as just kind of helping out with the forums and a little bit on social media. And over time is, you know, now I'm kind of...
It's growing.
I'm fully into most of the stuff that we do. I'm still... you know, considered part-time independent contractor, whatever you want to call it. But the amount of work that I do and the responsibilities I have are you know, deeper than they were.
Oh, certainly. And, you know, like when I go on vacation, you and Dave pretty much, you know, toe the line here. And it's been great having you on and, you know, having you on the team and, you know, we'll continue to utilize it. You know, you're definitely a valuable member here.
Well, thanks for that. I do enjoy the work. I've learned a lot. You know, I came into working for Blueberry thinking that I knew stuff, and I'm constantly challenged by what I realize I don't know even still. And the big thing is that I just know so much more about RSS now, which makes sense because RS. We do so much support for PowerPress.
Yep. And RSS is podcasting. I mean, yeah. As much as some people hate that, that is the truth.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you talk to anybody that does support for any, you know, podcasting services company, they would say the same thing. Because
it is
still the lifeblood of our medium, you know, and as you mentioned, there are people that would like to change that that may happen, though we don't know what. No one, in my opinion, has come forward with any reasonable replacement for RSS. And it's been a real good learning experience for me. I've learned a lot.
Well, we sure appreciate you here, and just keep it up. And hey, we'll get you on the shows more often too.
Sure.
So near and dear to our hearts, support. the section of the show where, you know, now if you get two of us on here that do support, we might just complain the whole time, but we're not going to do that. But one thing that has come up a few times recently, and I think you said you were going to put that on there if I didn't.
Yes.
But when you are doing your podcast from a website, as you should, you know, as if you've listened to Todd and I and this show and you know, pretty much Blueberry, you know, you should be doing your show from your own WordPress site to using our PowerPress plugin and all that. Well, if you're doing that, and then you decide you need to rebrand, you need to change your website domain, which happens, you know, people, oh, you know, they get this better domain or they have a better idea or they need to change the show to match what the show turned into. Please, 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 please contact us if you don't know what you're doing, but it has to be done in a particular order. Otherwise, you're going to lose your listeners. You're going to lose your subscribers. So, Sean, what was your experience recently with that? Well,
what I was thinking was, and I commented on this not too long ago on our Blueberry Slack group, is that I don't know what's going on, but apparently, you know, the roughly the middle of the year here, a little bit past, I guess, in 2018, this has become the season of relocating your podcast. It just seemed like every day I was dealing with multiple support requests that related somehow to someone moving a podcast from one location to another. And the thing that I don't know that apparently people don't entirely understand, and this is super important, and it doesn't matter how you're hosting your podcast now and how you're going to host it after you move, but do not take your old podcast down before you start the process.
Yeah, you got to do it, like I said, in the right order. We'll have the list on the show notes here, you know, what you do. But basically, you have to replicate the feed you have at your new location, mm-hmm. so that, therefore, the old feed still has to exist. Okay, and then once you get to your new destination and that one's up and running and it's replicated, then you have to somehow redirect that traffic to the old one to the new one. And, you know, yeah. The single best way is a 301 redirect. And, you know, so a lot of people, like what I've found a lot, especially like if you're on a service that generates the feed for you. So, you know, say, you know, any of our competitors, just name one. Okay. And you're moving from them to your own WordPress site using Blueberry, or not using Blueberry for that matter. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're moving to the RSS feed to your website. Okay. You still have to get what's known as a 301 redirect from the old service, and you can't cancel your old service before you have the new one in place. You know, if you're hosting at, you know, XYZ hosting company with your MP3 files, and that's where your RSS feed's coming from. If you cancel that account and then want to move, well, all your subscribers are still going to be looking at that dead RSS feed, and there's no way to redirect it. So
yeah, and the other thing too that'll happen is your media files will go offline, and you know, a lot of times if you migrate from one host to another and the service that you're going to is a good service, they'll have the tools to automatically copy your files over from the old location so that you don't have to then, when you start with a new service, you don't have to then manually upload all of your files individually.
Right.
They just bring them over, and depending on what their migration tools look like, you may have to go in and, you know, make some modifications. You may not, but if you completely annihilate your old podcast presence before you move to the new location, then you won't be able to get any of that automated goodness that comes from being able to use those migration tools. You pretty much have to start completely over from ground zero. And most importantly, you will lose your old subscribers, because it's kind of like moving your house. Yep. And, you know, not telling anybody that what your new address or your new phone number is, and then, you know, they come by to see you and you're gone and they have no idea what happened to you. And it's the right. Same thing. If
Think of the 301 redirect as the note on the door of the apartment. Say, hey, I moved over here.
Yes, exactly. And that's really important because, you know, there's a lot of confusion in general about how a lot of the syndication points work, Apple being the big one. Because what happens is even if you're listed in Apple Podcasts and someone subscribes to your show through either the iTunes desktop app or the iOS Podcasts app, once they click or tap subscribe, the iTunes store or the directory is completely removed from the system. So what happens is that application on your local device, your computer, your iOS device, now is locally sort of tracking your, you know, that podcast feed, and it's updating the subscription from there. Whatever happens at the directory is irrelevant at that
point. Right. Yeah, it's like we talked about a while back, Todd and I, you know, when Apple removed Alex Jones' shows from Apple Podcasts, all that did was prevent people from finding it in Apple Podcasts. But that show still, all their subscribers were still there.
Yeah.
Because they're not subscribed to anything at Apple. They're just using Apple's software and their directory to find the podcast. And then you're subscribed to the RSS feed, wherever that might be.
Yeah. And I think people assume that, you know, what they see in the Apple directory listing is what everyone sees in their apps. And that just isn't true if they're already subscribed. And the other thing is that they figure, okay, well, I'm going to move my podcast to a new location. I get a new RSS feed. I just go into Podcast Connect and put in the new feed URL and I'm done. And that will work to keep your listing working going forward, but it won't automatically carry over all of your existing subscribers.
Right, and there's better ways to do that. And again, we'll have the list in the show notes on, you know, exactly what to do. We need to press on here. We got a couple more topics and a few minutes to do it.
Sure.
We'll have all that in the show notes there. And of course, you can contact support at blueberry.com for help with any move, preferably prior to the move. Anyway, Spotify, that seems to be the topic du jour in support a lot here lately. Luckily, we've streamlined the process of getting on Spotify. So if you're hosting with us and just go in your dashboard, click Get on Spotify. Couldn't be easier to follow the instructions. The one thing is sometimes it'll say you're on Spotify, and then you go there and you're not really on Spotify. Spotify isn't particularly good at telling us why you're not on Spotify or even that you're not on Spotify. So if you find that, you know, it says you're on Spotify and you go there and you're not, get with us first. As much as we hate answering Spotify questions, we really want to hear from you because there are a few things we can check prior to you trying to contact Spotify.
Yeah. One thing that I found in these instances is that sometimes, you know, somebody clicks the link and it doesn't work and then they contact support and I just launch the Spotify app and I search for their show and it's in there and I just give them the link.
Right.
That is one thing you can try on your own if you have the app installed. And the important thing there is whatever device you're running the Spotify app on, absolutely make sure you have the most recent version. That seems to make a difference.
Yep, and it could be difference between a desktop version and a Android version and an Apple phone version. You know, that just they're all different, and they all update at different rates. And, you know, especially if you just got into Spotify, give it a few days before you panic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows how long it takes to get everywhere. But contact us first, and then, you know, if you have to contact them, it's kind of hard. You have to be on Twitter. And you contact at Spotify Cares. That's the only way podcasters have to contact Spotify, or at least the only way that's been reliable.
Yeah.
So, and they are pretty good at answering, but whether they know are. What they're talking about, I don't know. But
yeah. Well, I've actually interacted with them regarding a podcasting thing, and they did get me, you know, in the right direction of somebody that could help. So
nice, nice. And then just a couple other little things that have come up recently. In generator at Blueberry, that's what we call it if you're not using PowerPress but using our hosting and generating a feed from blueberry.com. If you go into the podcast settings there, you'll notice there's a blank that says alternative feed URL. Okay, that does not need to contain anything. In fact, don't put anything there, please. Because what people will do is they'll copy the feed that's right above that in the settings and then paste it in there. Well, we know it's there because, see, we printed it right there above it. We don't need it again. So what it does is it creates a loop, because that alternative feed URL, that means our directory goes out and checks that feed. Well, our directory goes out and checks that feed, finds, hey, he's got 10 more episodes, and then pulls 10 more episodes into the directory. So by the time you're done, you look at it, there's 4 or 5 copies of each episode in the directory listing, and it just causes a loop. So, yeah, please, please do not put anything in the alternative feed URL box. That is, in fact, I'm working on our dev department to maybe remove that, because I can't think of a use case for it.
Yeah, me either. It just seems like it's something that causes confusion and doesn't really help anybody.
Right. And you know, there's things like that, you know. Sure. Most, you know, that's why we always try to get people to use PowerPress, and we even give you a WordPress site if you want it, and that's the most up-to-date way to do it. The generator system tends to lag behind a little bit just because it's lower priority and there's not as many people using it.
Yeah.
So, and then the last thing is, I had 2 different people over the last couple of weeks that were posting their podcast on SoundCloud and then doing import podcast to get it on their website. And the import podcast tool in PowerPress is not a workflow.
No.
In fact, one of them was from Blog Talk Radio, I think. And Blog Talk Radio lately has been having problems with their RSS feeds. I don't know whether they got that fixed or not, but our system, you know, PowerPress was having a hard time importing a feed because it would time out. And this guy thought it was our problem. And I'm like, well, no, you're not supposed to be using import, you know. And, you know, import is, you know, for moving, as we talked about before, moving your podcast. Well, you want to import your feed into PowerPress and then do the migrate media if you're going to host with us, or you could just leave it where it is. It works either way. But, yeah, don't use import podcast every time you publish an episode. Go over and manually publish it.
Yeah, the import podcast function within PowerPress is meant to be a one and done operation. It's just for, as you said, Mike, if you're moving to a new site or whatever the case is, you use it to pull in your existing episodes, and then going forward, you publish your new episodes.
Yeah, right, you know, from PowerPress
directly on the site. So.
Yeah, so. Anyway, I think that does it, and we didn't go too overtime. It's been great having you on, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll have to do this more often. Now, you know, like I said, we were going to talk about formats. Of course, you know, I cut that from the thing. So maybe next time Todd and I will talk about show formats, but we may talk about changing the format of this show a little bit. Just something to think about. So if you have any suggestions for what we should do with this this show, and or anything, you know, any questions you might have for the show, contact yourpodcast@blueberry.com. And Sean, how do they get a hold of you directly?
Well, if you have a Blueberry related question, you can email me Sean@blueberry.com, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Ah, very good. And of course, I'm Mike@blueberry.com, but yeah, for both Sean and I and the rest of the support team, it's support@blueberry.com. So you got so many @blueberry.com addresses. I think if you type anything, we'll get it.
There's a good chance.
Yeah. So anyway, have a great couple of weeks. Todd should be back on the next episode, and Sean, we'll see you on your PowerPress tips over at PowerPressPodcast.com.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Mike.
Bye-bye.